Film noir was at its height in 1945 when Mildred Pierce, starring Joan Crawford, offered moviegoers an ambitious woman who was capable of murder.
Mildred. Mildred. A name gasped in the night. The one last word of a dying man. But one word that tells a thousand stories of a woman who left her mark on every man she met.
It turns out this film noir was a major departure from the novel it was based on.
For one thing, in the novel there was no murder. The crimes were the stuff of tangled relationships.
Novelist James N. Cane was known for his hard-boiled novels, The Postman Always Rings Twice, Double Indemnity.
But in Mildred Pierce, he chose to create a portrait of a single mother in 1930s Los Angeles. In the midst of the Depression, she works her way up from baking pies to owning a string of successful restaurants, and all the while consumed by her turbulent relationship with her musically gifted daughter, Vita, who will do anything to get ahead. This is the Mildred Pierce director Todd Haynes revisits in his new HBO miniseries starring Kate Winslet.
The Mildred that emerged on the page was someone quite different from the Joan Crawford Mildred. And I think right away, it just cast a different image in my mind. It was no longer a film noir. It was a sort of almost a social realist document about rough times at a very specific economic moment in our history that, of course, was reminding me of what was happening right now. So this story and this character and this woman felt intensely and newly relevant to me when I read the book.
The notion of the women having to take care of themselves and their families, that comes out very early in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's right after Mildred has sent her husband packing. Let's take a listen to a scene in the movie where Mildred tells her friend Lucy that she's told her husband to get out for good.
I've got my own ideas and I just can't change them for somebody else.
So what are you going to do? You just joined the biggest army on Earth. You're the great American institution that never gets mentioned on the 4th of July. A grass widow with two small children to raise on your own, that dirty bastard.
You know, as her friend says, Mildred is now a grass widow, and that is such an interesting expression. It's certainly gone out of style, but you get it.
Yeah, it's an amazing moment. It's really about a woman taking stock of herself in a whole new way and looking at what her sort of value is now that she knows she has to go out on the street and find some sort of livelihood to sustain her middle class life. And she takes a job at what she calls a hash house as a waitress.
Well, in terms of her love for her daughter, Vita, you know, a job that should have engendered pride in the children whose mother is going out and sacrificing so much for them. Let's take a listen to the interaction between the two.
It so happens that I've taken a job in a restaurant in Hollywood.
As a what?
As a waitress, as you well know.
Ye gods. Ye gods.
Oh, stop that!
Ye gods and little
fishes. So you and your sister can eat and have a place to live and a few clothes on your backs. I've taken the only kind of job I can get.
Why is Vita so ashamed?
What's so interesting is how quickly, in one decade, the 1920s, sort of a middle class sense of pride and entitlement and a sense that your kid's life is going to be better than yours. How deeply those expectations were already in place by the end of the 1920s, which was really the first year of intense prosperity and housing bubbles all over the country. And then it all ended. So you see these people scrambling to kind of retain a sense of self. And Mildred wants everything for her daughter.
Mildred is also, to some degree, living through her daughter. But Vita is so scheming and so cruel. You wonder even why Mildred, though she may be her mother, remains devoted to her.
Well, I think that was a sort of narrative and dramatic challenge. You really need to see somebody not cast in stone the way Vita might have been in some people's memories in the original film version. In our story, she's trying out these different guises and she's assuming, you know, a set of values that her parents have provided for her and demonstrated for her as good cultural values and values of high learning and the high class way of doing things, which, you know, always sort of verges on something horrible and snobby, but also things that the middle class values as well. And, you know, Mildred's investment in Vida, which only intensifies, is too much. Her feelings and her investment in this child are really more those of an unrequited lover.
Haven't I given you everything you've ever wanted? If there was something you needed, couldn't you have come to me first instead of resorting to this? To blackmail?
You want to know why? With enough money, I can get away from you. You. And your pie wagons and chickens and everything that smells of grease. From every rotten, stinking thing that even reminds me of this place. Or you.
Do you see Mildred Pierce as someone who has fallen into the challenges of her moment, which is the Depression, or someone who's actually ahead of her time?
I think in many ways the story itself sort of harkens to the time just about to come during the war years, where women have no choice but to assume dominant roles. Men are away overseas. And what's so interesting about this story is that it's beyond that. Women have just taken the reins and are active, and men are more on the sidelines. Although the interesting thing about Mildred is how unreflective she really is. She kind of takes her innate skills at business for granted. The thing she's fixated on is the thing she isn't getting, which is Vida's love.
Director Todd Haynes, his miniseries Mildred Pierce, starring Kate Winslet as Mildred, begins this Sunday night on HBO. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Renee. It was a pleasure.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer.